When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yes. Yes. Welcome in. It's the Tim McKernan Show podcast. My name is Timothy Michael McKernan. That's Jackson Bennett Burkett. And we are in the Longo Big Studios. Jackson, here's the deal. As we record, it's 12:12 Central Time, Tuesday, May 7th. I am leaving this studio. You can keep going. That's fine. But I am leaving this studio no later than, I'll say, 12:40.
All right, that sounds like a good plan.
You don't believe it for a second. You're going to bet against that number.
I'll set the over under at 12:43, and I'll take the under on it.
Really?
I think you mean it.
I always type in for gifts for quote tweeting your.
Yeah, good one.
I always just type in cute boys, and the first one is, if I use this, it's just going to, because I, you know, my Twitter account is so
active,
that's exactly right, and it's two guys laying in bed, and the guy starts to apparently suckle upon the nipple of the gentleman who's holding him.
Is this on Twitter?
It's on Twitter. Just type in cute boys, see if you can get the same gift. Hey, everybody at home do it.
Yeah, right.
Everybody at home do it. Wow. I'll tell you what, they've gotten a little more aggressive when I type in cute boys.
Cute boys? Yeah, I looked up cute boy. I'm going to get put on some sort of list. Oh, Lord.
You see what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Oh, he's like smooching his peck.
I think he's suckling his nipple.
Oh, God. The cute boys gift department is.
It's huge, isn't it? That's kind of one of my go-tos.
Plentiful.
Welcome in. Here's the deal. I'm doing turn off the fucking volume. I am doing. I'm doing 28 minutes. I'm getting 27 minutes now. And you can just pepper me with questions in the YouTube chat, and I'm going to answer them. I'm going to answer every single one of them.
Yeah, okay, over on the 12:43.
I got to tell you, here's what's going on with me. And I didn't want to say anything about it. I didn't want to say anything about what was going on. I didn't want to say anything during TMA. It would be totally a non sequitur on Balloon Party. Jackson and I are fresh out of a sales meeting with the Hubbard Radio sales staff. But yesterday, played in the Jennings Randolph Junior Fan Page Club Championship match. And as you can imagine, we've had a lot of rain in the St. Louis metropolitan area over the last, I don't know how long. It seems like it's been a while.
Yeah, man.
Ground saturated. The course is in great shape, Gateway National, in the Metro East. But either way, we got scolded for pace of play two different times. So to try to expedite it, which really speaks volumes, I actually carried my bag to try to keep it moving.
Sure.
And then that way, as soon as, like, those who might be behind me were done, I'd be right there and ready to go.
Because
it's cart. Yeah, exactly. And there was like a puddle in between 16 and 17, and I'm wearing spikes, not like, you know, Tommy Armour III and Bryson's metal spikes, but still spikes. And I tried to step into it real quick, and it slipped, and my knee is in a bad way.
Well, I saw you doing some stretching in the sales meeting.
I hope it's just like a quick little inflammation thing and not a, oh my God. So I'm feeling that right now, Jax. But if I would have said it during the match, it could come off like, I have an excuse, you know, I didn't want to say anything.
What you do is the Chris Paul model, which
what is that?
After you lose the
then
series,
you say?
Then you say, I've been dealing with a quad issue since the last week of the regular season.
That's how you handle it.
Yeah, that's how CP3 has done that for his whole career.
You are my member guest partner coming up on the weekend of Father's Day.
Yep.
They were just requesting your gin number. I am up to a 5.
All right, that's good. It's very good.
I am up to a 5.
That's very good.
And
this is the month. This is the month where the pendulum swings back and we start going low.
Now, I'm playing with the worst woods wacko, and the way they handle it in his member guest is whatever your lowest was over the last 365 days to prevent what one might think I am doing. And I'm actually in the midst of a new swing. And so it's getting there. Yesterday, my issue was around the greens and putting. I had 18 two putts. And you might be like, that's pretty good. 36 putts ain't going to cut
no,
it, though, Jack.
No, you got to have a couple one putts.
Yeah, indeed. So anyway, neither here nor there. Yeah, God almighty. And I woke up this morning, and I'm like, what the fuck did I even do yesterday? And my first step, I'm like, oh, my knee. I'm like, oh, yeah, the slip in the puddle.
Are the shoes okay?
I think so. Okay. I'm not wearing those shoes. It's those black shoes that you've been a fan of my golf footwear.
Yeah. Lately. Well, you told me. You were like, I'm trying to up the footwear. I was like, yeah. Go off, King.
Yeah, go off, King. Hey, any questions? It's fine. I'm going to answer them all, and I'm out at 1240. I'm telling you, I am.
All right.
I don't blame. If I were you, I would bet against it. I'm hungry, and I have a bunch of things to do, and therefore I have to do it. Thank you to our sponsors, James Carlton of the Carlton State Farm Insurance Agency. CarltonInsurance.net. He's my insurance agent. I hear tell there's a buzz that Jackson might be making the switch.
Mm-hmm.
You'll be so happy.
I know I will be.
I bet you have like some buddy from Ladue inherited the business from his dad. And that's he. Oh, is this hitting too close to home?
No. No.
I was about to, I'm like, oh, I just called that Queen Jack of Spades.
No,
and
it's
going,
sadder than that.
Oh.
I'm like, oh. Mom's.
Oh. Yeah. Well, that's different.
Yeah.
But I guess at an age limit, there gets to a point where you can't.
Yeah, and
be.
She's going to be retiring soon.
Oh, there
enough,
you go.
So.
Okay, well, then that's a different deal.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, well, that's not sad. That's the smart move, fiscally responsible. Mm-hmm. Anyway, CarltonInsurance.net. He's my guy. He's about to be Jackson's guy. Munganess, St. Louis Acura, Munganess, Burkhardt, Alton Toyota. Jamie Burkhardt emailed me to let me know that they are moving that TMA Loyal Listener Special. And the Loyal Listener Special is, because I know most of the people who listen to TMA also listen to this, but we have some people who don't listen to TMA. So when I go into TMA-centric content, they're like, what are you doing? I need to hear other stuff. Fine, here you go. This is the TMA Loyal Listener Special, $5.89 a month at Munganess St. Louis Acura and Munganess Burkhardt Alton Toyota. And that gets you, with no money down, a 2024 MDX Premium. And I'll let you in on a secret. It's what I drive. Be like me. Now I have the elevated seat, and that's right. Built special.
Just and blades.
Blades to reach the pedals. And now that I need knee surgery, I need something else. StLouisAcura.com, AltonToyota.com. What else do we have? Well, we have Mark Hanna. You work with Mark Hanna. I think he's a life Sherpa. And,
he is. Yeah.
He's online at evergreenstl.com. He's a wonderful gentleman. Can't say enough good things about him.
Really?
Seth Goldkamp at Design Air Heating and Cooling, online at designairservice.com. Official HVAC provider of TMA and the Tim McKernan Show podcast. And we're in the Longo Big Studios. I don't know what this says. For those of you who had knee injuries here, I'm going to put my, what's a better angle to put my big leg that is suited for somebody who's 4'10, because I think my torso is normal size. I think it's my legs that are small that causes the problem.
Top tall.
Am I really? I think so.
Yeah.
Do you really? Are you saying that seriously? Or
I mean, it's not like egregious, but yeah, I would say.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, I'm like all legs.
Is that right?
Yeah. I'm like all legs.
Like, so if my legs were normal size, I'd be like 6'2.
Right. We just
and I would probably be in Hollywood. I'd be
imagine.
Working with DiCaprio.
Yeah, you'd be Billy Dee Williams.
I'd be Billy Dee Williams. So here.
I zoomed out.
Okay, can you see it?
Yeah, oh yeah.
All right. So right here is where I'm working it over, where you saw me working it over in the...
I did, yeah.
If this were like a knee surgery thing, I would feel like maybe it's more here. This, to me, strikes me as like a little muscle inflammation, but I...
You didn't hear a pop or anything, did you?
No, but I slipped, and one of the guys, because we had a gallery...
Of course.
Goes oh, I saw you. And I'm like, and I wanted to say something about it, but I'm like, I don't want to be like, oh, I got injured guy.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and if you did something with
but
like,
bet that guy did see it, and I don't know. All I know is carry my bag, and I slipped, and it is a motherfucker.
I've seen a good number of knee injuries in my career playing basketball.
Oh, really?
And
how what goes
there's
on?
There's a couple things, like when it's a severe injury, usually there's like a hitch in the slip. I don't know a better way
hitch
to describe it.
Hitch in the slip.
But like when they slip, it's kind of like the like leg kind of reverberates a little
bit. I don't think that did not happen.
And then also extreme pain. Like, I witnessed a guy slip and tear his ACL, and you would have thought a sniper got him. Like, it was not something. Like,
this happened in a basketball game or practice?
Yeah, basketball game.
So it wouldn't be like, hey, I'm going to massage my leg during a podcast after finishing a couple holes of golf.
It's not a dull pain. It's once the adrenaline wears down, I need you to stick some Vicodin directly into my leg.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this is, like, up here.
Yeah,
but when I took my first step this morning, I'm like, what the fuck? And I'm like, oh, yeah. So I don't know, but I didn't want to bring it up because it's like it can come off the wrong way. Jeff Cox in the YouTube chat says this is most likely a tendon pull per my son, who is a college football kicker.
Could be, yeah.
What does that mean as far as treatment goes?
Oh,
or is it just like gonna heal?
They'll probably suggest a lot of physical therapy, but
oh, fuck.
Yeah, I don't know if you need to do all.
I mean, this is like a 2 on a 1 to 10, but it's definitely noticeable. It's like dullish.
If you're not going to go in for like therapy, they'll give you like a 15 to 20 minute stretching
thing
that you do daily, and that'll help mitigate and will help with recovery. The pain, you might wear one of those really sexy knee straps.
Nice.
You ever seen one of those? Like it's about the width of like a small belt, and you just put that around your leg, kind of like you're asphyxiating your kneecap.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's hot.
Jeff says rest, ice, and stretching.
Yep.
I got 3-member guests in 4 weeks.
Yeah, this time, this is recovery season.
God almighty.
It's Theragun.
Brian Henshin's in the YouTube chat. Gentlemen, great to see you. Let's see if my Zac Efron.
Oh, Zac Efron? That's a cute boy.
People probably see that pop up in their Twitter feed and they go, what the fuck?
Oh, God, this is like, Lord. It's like a compilation of Efron.
Oh, God, that fucking app.
Well, the best part about it is all of our tweets, both, I think just you, but maybe me. ESPN has a tweet deck on the website, 101 ESPN.
Oh, yeah.
And so anytime
that I do something,
any member of like the local programming tweets, it goes up on the tweet deck. And so that Efron compilation is just streaming right now. Matter of fact, I'm going to go on 101 ESPN.com
right now.
Just
see it. All right, let me read what we got in here. Like I said, 12:40, I'm out here. That's 18 more minutes. You got me for 18 minutes, and then I'm gone. Gentlemen, great to see you. Thank you. Thank you for the delicious content whilst I hammer out some Colts scouting reports or whatever it is I cover. That's from Brian Henshin. Coaches John and Dean Ellis, on this day in 2021, 3 years ago, Jackson, Jack Flaherty led the local nine to a 5-0 win en route to a 90-win season. Not really a question, but damn. Cinderella said it best in 1988. You don't know what you got till it's gone. That's coaches John and Dean Ellis. Yeah, it has been a quick, precipitous fall here over the last 14 months of baseball. That is for certain. Ken's Mouth is in the YouTube chat. Ken's Mouth, you can be honest with me. Are you one of these guys who've been blocked so many times you have to keep coming up with new names? Because we've got there's an epidemic in the YouTube chat on that. He writes, hey guys, if you're looking for deep dive content, there's a captivating discussion going on about how often you can use cash on the fan page. Jesus. It's Ken's Mouth.
I never use cash. Pizza Go-Go.
The fact that Pizza Go-Go, and I don't know what else.
If I got a Columbia Butch's, but outside of that.
I'm like, I want to make sure, like, if I want to tip, like a.
That's where I was in that situation.
And I feel terribly, because I want to have it, but I got like maybe $20. I just don't use it. It's all
right.
Venmo or plastic.
Yeah, man. Like, when I was at the Cardinal game, it was the free food and drink. So you go up to the bar 8 times, and you keep getting free beer. Or you paid for it, but they're just handing it to you, and you like feel like a piece of shit.
100%. I get it,
because people are throwing
dollar
bills.
I don't know what to do. I don't
carry dollar bills. Put a Venmo QR code, and I'll fire. I'll fire it to you.
That'd be a good strategy.
I'm telling you.
Let's see what we got. Hey Tim, I don't understand the science behind it, but I heard pleasuring yourself more frequently helps with the knee issue. That's from Ken's Mouth. Also, well, let's see what's going on with Ella Reese, because that's kind of the chicken and egg here. Jackson, has she been active?
That is nice to know, though, anytime I see a new post from her.
That I'm going
to
pleasure myself?
I can imagine what's going on in your home.
See, what is it, Ellery's baby? There it is.
Oh, yeah. Pretend like
well, she's full-on brunette now.
Is that right? Yeah. What about the dishwater blonde?
I know. God, it's gotten so Brio, though.
Yeah, there she is, though. I see her.
What do you think? Ella Reese BBY, because I know plenty of you are going to start following, as you should.
Yeah, I preferred the blonde look.
The dishwater blonde, as it's called. And it's just gotten kind of, but she is hot.
Woman,
but again, KG and O-Town likes to get the gif of me doing this.
Right.
That's the key.
It's right there.
I'm telling you. Whenever I go full on, basically, like what Florio said, what Florio said is my business model. What did Florio say, do you think, that resonated with me yesterday?
Oh, wow. There was a lot.
Did you get a lot of feedback on the interview?
I got a bunch of people. I had some people say.
Yeah, I didn't really. I mean, I thought it was a fine interview, but that really resonated with people.
Yeah, I took a clip
of it. Tip of the cap to you and Iggy for getting that done.
God bless. I took a clip of that, and we put it on the 101 social last night, and it did a lot of traction, as I imagined it would. It was kind of open-ended. Is St. Louis still a viable market for the NFL? And you had Florio talking about it, so it was going to get some reaction. The thing that resonated, he was just basically like, when you tell it like it is and you're not in the pocket of anybody, people get upset. but at least you know you're telling the whole unbridled truth. I'm paraphrasing.
I'll be more specific.
Yeah.
And it can come off really the wrong way. But I could never do this show or TMA or Balloon Party again, and I'd be fine. Take it for whatever it's worth.
Yeah.
And so once you get to that point, you kind of go, I'm just going to say whatever.
Yeah. It's like an analyst on TV who's a former athlete.
That's the thing.
Barkley.
He would probably say it if he were here, but I don't want to put words in somebody's mouth who everybody, if I said it, would recognize. But we were having a text exchange last night, as a matter of fact, and I said the tough thing about the business is that in order to either ascend, and by the business, I mean this thing, if you're doing one of these local gigs, mm-hmm. not our local gig, because fortunately we are kind of on the periphery, which is where I prefer to operate. But like if you're doing games, and this isn't like limited to Cardinals and Blues, but, you know, I don't know, Mariners games, whatever, right. You got to kind of jerk off the local team. It really is like state-run television or radio.
Yeah.
And then at some point, if you get enough, you can go, okay, fuck it. Now I'm just going to say what I think. Fire me. Don't really give a shit. I'll sleep in and, you know, go somewhere else. And that is when you actually get the honest commentary.
Yep.
And it strikes me as kind of ass backwards.
Right.
You know? And
yeah.
It's a shame because a lot of people who have a lot of personality, you know, before the red light goes on, they come in, they saw their balls off.
Yep. Yeah.
And they go, make sure you can't carry color outside the lines, you know? And I'm just like, ugh. So, yeah, that, I mean, to me, I'd go, hey, isn't Inside the NBA on TNT, like, that should be the North Star for the industry.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Totally. And I think people have tried to emulate it to an extent.
Who has tried? I guess the NHL shows are trying
NHL,
to do it a little
and they
bit.
Do a good job of
they
it.
They do a good job of it.
But it comes to, like—
So Biz is kind of that guy right now, right?
Right. And it comes to my point where, like, you can't manufacture the chemistry. Like, the chemistry between Shaq and Chuck.
That's right.
And
that's
especially the... between Ernie and all the guys, you cannot manufacture it. And it's actually a story now because the NBA media rights deal, it's looking like TNT is going to have to really pony up or it's going to NBC.
So then all those guys go to NBC?
Not Ernie. Ernie will never. Ernie's Turner through and through. He's not leaving. And those guys say it. They're like, it can't happen unless we have all four.
Wow, I didn't know this was going on.
They can't do it without Ernie. And while you might think he is certainly the most disposable of the four,
sure,
because he's not a former athlete, but he is the glue. The show is not what it is without Ernie.
Right.
It's not what it is without Jet.
Sure.
It's obviously not what it is without Shaq and Chuck. So I'd actually argue that the show would be okay without Jet, as much as I love the Jet. But, like, they've had Baron Davis or Clark Kellogg being in there, and it's been okay. Kevin Garnett. But regardless, like, you can't manufacture that kind of chemistry, and you can't – I mean, Shaq and Chuck are the two biggest examples of if they got fired by Turner tomorrow, they're not losing one ounce of sleep because they have – millions upon millions in the bank. Chuck's kind of looking to get out of it as it is.
So then what winds up happening is you have people, like I've noticed with athletes specifically, interview an athlete when they're first starting out, their first handful of years in whatever league it is, and then interview an athlete when they're established, have God only knows how much money in the bank, and the conversations are absolutely different.
Yep.
And so in this text exchange I was having last night, I'm going, it's kind of the nature of the beast, unfortunately, but it is liberating. And I guess that's why Balloon Party's gotten traction. I don't know why Balloon Party's gotten traction. Your questions are what activate me. But I think it's because you at 26 don't give a shit about the hatred, and they now realize I can't get to this fucking guy. And then I think they already kind of know I'm whatever it is that I am.
Right.
And so I think people go, okay, I might hate these guys. I hate the guy who, you know, was arrogant, and I hate the guy who won't watch hockey, but they're going to be honest, and that is kind of refreshing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I think it's that, and I think it's got a little bit of TMA DNA where it's very self-deprecating, very much self-aware of what we're doing, and like when there's a real meaty, deep sports topic that we're very invested in, we're going to give it to you, and we're going to button it up, and if it's not, we're not going to try to sell you something that's not important.
That's a good team. I was wondering how you see TMA DNA.
We're not going to, if we have to mess around, it's more likely because we're not going to try to sell you that the Blues third line is a crisis.
No, because Jackson couldn't name one member of the Blues third line.
I don't know any of them lines.
Did you just say I don't know any of them lines?
I don't know any of the lines. I don't know Kevin Hayes somewhere? Is
he does
line?
Play. He does play for the franchise. Might not for a long time, but he does. All right, Don Pepe's in there. I got 10 minutes. I got 10 minutes. I need an erotic story, Tim. I'm feeling cute today. I don't even know if I have any in my email folder saved.
Yeah, if they're, that's another thing.
Send them in.
Yeah.
I mean, let's go. It's now approaching warm weather season. It's got to be going on.
And I know folks are sitting on some.
I do too.
Like, what gives a shit?
Send it from a burner email.
Right, exactly. Send it from a burner.
I got so much creepy shit I've done, and I'm sharing it. I'm like the father of two kids. We're going to have to go through therapy because of this podcast.
Lord knows we'll read it.
Absolutely. Alan Dadeville, who witnessed Iggy's incredible putt that came up 30 feet short, says it is hard to believe the Pat Maroon double overtime winner was 5 years ago today. Oh,
is that right? Wow. Yeah, May 7th. Yeah, because it was, he wore number 7.
That might be a good Lil Piddle's Wide Berth Wednesday kind of topic, like moment, not game, moment. I will fight to the death on the moment things. People, the game six. No, you can think of the moment, because I think of like the Ricky Pearl catch and like how I almost fell over from a rush when he caught that ball. The Maroon goal, both freezes at bats in game six. What else we got?
Well, I mean, I think a really interesting thing on what you just said right there.
The Mike Jones tackle.
Yeah.
I guess the Isaac Bruce touchdown before the Mike Jones tackle.
Good call. Yeah. I'm like, what is the more exhilarating moment? Freeze's triple or Freeze's walk?
I can tell you in the podcast that might not even exist at this point, even though it pops up in my iTunes every once in a while. I'm just like shuffle, and
right.
Oh, here's me, Maroon, and Freeze.
That is nice.
The secret podcast. Right. Freeze thinks it's the triple.
I think I was about to say, because
you're a strike away from death.
That's
he was free rolling in the other one.
Exactly.
We're gonna argue over these two great things. Yes, but Alan Dadeville, that puts me in a good place, man. It really does. How about the fact that Maroon's playing for Montgomery now?
Yeah, right. I just like how he's on Boston after
the whole thing, and he's going to win another fucking cup.
Yeah, right.
The guy's unbelievable. Yeah. He is on. He's
been red hot.
He's something. I mean, that guy's just he's something else. You want to talk about a guy for a broadcast?
Yeah, man.
That's perfect. The guy. Because if he wouldn't have won all these cups, it'd be just like, oh, the guy who got the goal for the Blues. I mean, he could put him on the Blues stuff. He put Biz at one end and Maroon at the other.
Yep. And I think,
there's the makings.
Right. And I think the fact that he's still playing and still playing effectively is also a testament, of course.
Yeah, he was out
play.
There for, I think he had the assist on Trent Frederick's goal.
Right. It was an STL connection there. But, obviously his play speaks for itself. But, I don't think they keep bringing a guy in the later part of his career unless he was such a great locker room guy and so easy to, have chemistry with others. And so when you look at a broadcast.
I couldn't agree with you more. You're 100% right. I'm telling you, that's the direction. I mean, God, I really, because the podcast that Pat and Freeze and I recorded was June 2020, and it's like our lives have changed. I mean, mine hasn't, but he's won two other cups. David has a couple more kids, and we're talking about getting fucked up. They might not want it out now. So right. I got to go back to both those guys.
Yeah.
I would imagine, knowing kind of both their personalities, they don't care. Mm-hmm. But I don't want to just like release it and all of a sudden be like, oh my God, they were fucked up at Mike Trout's house playing video games. Holy shit.
New York Post article.
Yeah. And I want to do that to them. I don't give a shit. I'm not making any money on it anyway. But I respect them both. But either way, you put Biz at one end and Pat at the other end and find whoever your Ernie is. I don't know if it's Liam McHugh's in there right now. And let them go back and forth because you got the different. They're both funny and self-deprecating, but Biz kind of plays quick. Pat plays at a different pace.
Yep.
And you kind of got that.
Right.
Oh, it's beautiful. I'm excited about this broadcast.
Right. And the inside the NBA effect of it all is you're not just having guys who are hilarious and great, but when it comes time to break it down, I mean, can you find better
guys? That's the thing. And then they'll also shoot. Pat will absolutely shoot straight.
100%.
Oh, he's going to kill it in that. He didn't even know.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Let's see what else I got. I want to try 5 minutes. YouTube check. It's a bad rap, but mostly it's full of positive people, except for a few that go after Iggy. Why is the YouTube chat? I don't think either. I don't know what show we're talking about, but no show talks about. I don't think the YouTube chat. Anybody thinks the YouTube chat's bad?
No, I disagree.
I don't know. Don Pepe, I respect. I think the world of the of you. I mean, you're the Don. Fuck. I mean, but I don't think we think anything bad about the YouTube chat. I don't think we really think anything bad about the text inbox either.
No. I don't know where it is. Away, but
I mean, the fan page will have a few. Apparently, the Reddit page. I haven't had a chance to. And I don't know where else it would be. I don't get a chance to look.
No, thank you.
But the YouTube chat to me is kind of a...
Yeah, it's nice.
Jackson, Bryson DeChambeau has leaned into YouTube golf. Will this be a trend for more pro golfers, or is it a flash in the pan thing suitable only for eccentric personalities like Bryson?
No, I think it's a great thing that other people... pro golfers of the future will absolutely be leaning into it, whether it be on their own channels or collabing with some of these already big YouTube golf channels. Because it's if you have a 45-minute round with a guy, like, for example, like Keegan Bradley has done a couple things with Bob Doe Sports, as has Bo Hostler.
I would know nothing about these guys at all.
But
they're good on there.
But they are good on there. They're personable. And now I want to root for them. And now I know about them.
It's a good strategy, man.
Because in golf, like, what is better than a 45-minute interview, essentially, for a million people while you're just playing a round of golf?
Couldn't agree with you more. I have so much shit I want to do, and that's one of the things I want to do.
Yeah.
But we got to do it right. I don't want to do it and then roll it out and like have one camera, and it's like, what the fuck was that? That sucked. You know what I mean? But there's costs. So it's time and there's expense. TJ Weber.
Love TJ Weber.
You remember TJ Weber? He was with the Plowhawk and Weezer.
First pitch. A lot of the great Phoenix Mercury talk.
I'm telling you, I was putting together like another thing that I have as an idea. And I was just like, okay, all these names, because really, for real, it's not whatever I think people at this point. I mean, since these guys text in and call in, or not call in, but what they're active alumni of the show.
There's a
huge list. I'll just tell you, because I guess since we own it, nobody can do it. If I were to just be like, okay, like after, let's say after a Missouri college football game, like have either me or you probably would be point people, but it could be both of us, whatever. And then, like, have the Plowhawk, like, do a live post-game show. It's obviously going to be a different style of post-game show than what Gabe does. Gabe's is great for the X's and O's and you know, I mean, shit, I watched. I love that thing. I really like when he took calls. But like, me, you, Plowhawk, and then, like, Gangster Pete or whoever from the alumni list.
Yeah. Prod Joe
for Doggies Games. I mean, he's really into it. He does know the game. A gambling show with like the alumni, but I mean for real, and TJ Weber is big into the gambling.
Yeah, as is Nick Yall.
This whole like I was doing a list, and I'm like, we have like 20 people, all of whom obviously we think highly of, otherwise they wouldn't have been on the show. And I'm like, we can, you know, just like pay them per appearance if they want to do it. If they don't, God bless, whatever. I just wanted, that's what I want to do. So it's like the Plowhawk isn't gone forever. Bring him in for these types of things. Now that you can do shit remotely and whatever.
Right.
So if you knew there was like a TMA post game of Cardinal games, I'm not going to do it every night, staying up until 11 or 11:30. But if you have that kind of flavor with those personalities who you already know, I don't know. I'm high on that. Anyway, TJ Weber's question. Oh, we got a bunch here. What is it? 12:39. Take the over. I want to answer because it's good.
Okay.
What's up, guys? Question for Tim. When Martin left the show, and you guys, this is good because TJ Weber is like, I guess I would think TJ Weber's around 30.
Yeah, that sounds about right. I remember him being very young.
Super talented. Not just saying it because he's in the YouTube chat. Like, I could tell. Like, you know, within 10 seconds if you do this shit, if somebody's got it, and if they don't, and I could tell he had it immediately. What's up, guys? Question for Tim. When Martin left the show and you guys had tryouts for the third chair, did anybody else stand out besides Doug? Total hypothetical, but if Doug was never interested in joining the show, was there a good second option? Wasn't sure if you could talk about it or not, but just curious. Love the show, boys. This is a whole podcast.
Yeah.
Do you know the answer to this?
I do not. I have no idea.
Yeah, I don't think you do. And in a way, I almost don't want to say it, because in a way, I feel like I might
hurt
the person.
Right. It's like, because what, it wasn't seven?
Joe got fired in like August, September 06. Martin quit at the end of October 07.
NLCS.
October 06.
Right.
And then they fired the cat like January 3rd or something, 2007. And I mean, wow. What a, you know, yeah. The gif of the guy just sitting alone. Where did everybody go? That was me.
Fresh Prince, yeah.
Holy shit. But in between Martin quitting and the cat getting fired, we were told, and I think all parties would agree to this. If not, that would be really disappointing. But I think all parties would be, I guess, Jason Barrett is really the party. But he, you know, just like with Bill DeWitt, I mean, Jason Barrett didn't own the station.
Sure.
We're going to audition people for the replacement of Martin. And just like Doug, you cannot replace Martin. So just because the show has gone on however many years since Martin left, 18 years, that doesn't mean that we replaced Martin. You just bring in a different personality that adds a different, you know, and Martin and Doug are different personalities, but both fucking incredibly
amazing.
Talented.
Right.
So to me, and I believe the cat would agree with this, to me, it was clear. But you also have to understand that you can't be results-oriented about it, because Doug hadn't really done radio. And while I worked with Doug at KMOV, it's not like Doug and I had the relationship that we have now. And the relationship we have now isn't necessarily because we hang out.
Mm-hmm.
It's just because when you go through, it's like being part of a hockey team. Even if you weren't necessarily like hanging out with the guy, you went through the same battles together. And
right.
So there's a bond there.
Mm-hmm.
And we've gone through some battles, us against, take your pick of whatever. It's like the Sopranos season. This year is the new villain.
Right.
While it seems like Doug was super obvious, of course, that wasn't the case. But when he did come in, and I think he did a couple days, it was obvious that he was the one.
Right.
The other person who was in the mix was Chris Pelican.
Oh, yeah.
Who Charlie Marlowe, I believe, replaced at Channel 2, Fox 2.
Right.
And Pelican also was super quick and was great. And here's the thing. I believe it would have been successful, you know, with Pelican. And that's not a shot at Doug, but I want to make it clear. It's just like, I just think it would have worked. Because, again, I think this thing's always been bigger than one person. I know that there are some in the audience who probably don't think that, but I mean, I don't know. I've been in here for all of it. So I don't know how many times I've heard, oh, my God, the show's, you know, and it just, but whatever. Either way, the night the cat got fired, which was at Jay Bucks in Clayton, which is now the hell.
Buffalo Grill?
Yes.
Yeah.
God, yeah. I went there. It was just me and Jason Barrett. And I was... You know, I was under the impression, so this is January, I'm going to call it January 3rd, 2007. I was under the impression Jason and I were going to have a back and forth, not like an argument, but like, here's who I think is best.
Right.
And here's who the cat thinks is best. And we were both saying Doug. And it was kind of a no-brainer. But on the off chance that he was really high on Pelican, and didn't want Doug, then we would have, I guess, worked with him on Pelican. That's what I thought the conversation was. And I was excited about it because I'm like, this has been really a really tough time. Tough being relative. And in the labyrinth of tough times in TMA history, it's not even top 20. But I remember the night of the Cardinal World Series parade in 2006 sitting there and saying to my wife, I don't know what's going on, but I'm depressed. It was so weird. And I don't know if people have had this. Like, I don't know how you would feel if Missouri wins the NCAA championship.
Oh, man.
I know what you think you'll feel.
I'd be like a dog who finally caught the car.
Right. But for my entire life, and the reason why I chose to do what I chose to do was seeing the Cardinals win a World Series. And so now you've got it, and it's kind of like, Dustin Hoffman at the end of The Graduate looking at Elaine and, you know, I think the symbolism was, okay, we beat the old people.
Right.
What do we do now?
Right.
And I was like, what do we do now? On top of that, I believe the next day was the first show without Martin, at least officially announced.
Hmm.
And so we were going to go through this process of auditions. As it turns out, I go into this dinner with Jason and... I mean, really right out of the gate, there wasn't a lot of small talk. And what are we talking about now? 17, 18 years ago, whatever the fuck it was? I feel like it was kind of like a bullet to the head, which is fine. I mean, I'm not arguing about the way the message was delivered. It was going to be bad. All right. I've got your new host. I'm like, oh, okay. Guess my opinion. I thought we were doing auditions and we were going to have a, his name's Bob Fesco. And he goes by the name Bulldog. And right away, I'm like, oh, boy. Just because for what I do, just right. Like I'm sure I'm not what he does. And it's nothing, it's not personal. It's just I'm not, you know, that's not my thing. And I know my thing isn't most people's thing. But if you're trying to sell me on somebody, you know, that didn't, but it doesn't matter. And I'm going, well, who is that? And he goes, he's out of Kansas City. You're going to love him. And I'm like, okay. And I go, I don't know him. Does the cat know him? He goes, well, that's the other thing. We're going to fire the cat tomorrow. And I go. So not only do I go into this dinner thinking that we're going to have a back and forth, I'm told I'm going to now be hosting the show that I had been working with Joe, Martin, and the cat 4 months ago. Now they're all gone. There's a guy I've never met, didn't even know he existed, who's going to be my co-host, and the cat's getting fired tomorrow. And I had remembered because Erin, the cat's wife, had just had, not just had, no, yeah, she hadn't yet. She was, fuck, man, because I think Tyler was born in April of 2007, the cat's son. And I'm like, and I remember he had signed this offer sheet thing. And I was like, and Erin quit her job at KSDK. She used to be on air at Channel 5. And I'm just like, as you can imagine, you just, right. I mean, it's like I got two punches to the gut.
Right.
And I'm going, you know, I mean, Erin just quit her job. She's pregnant. And didn't the cat sign a contract? Well, we'll handle that. We, you know, that's not necessarily a contract. It's an offer sheet. Well, the cat wound up getting a new bathroom, so you can see where people.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's devastating. And he goes, I need you to go in and do the show tomorrow, and then I'm going to let him go after the show. And it was like, I can't do that.
Right.
I can't do that. And I was calm. There was no yelling. It's still not the way I operate things. But I remember saying, well, he's either going to find out tonight from me or he's going to find out tonight from you. But I'm not going to sit across from that guy knowing you're right. About to whack him
right.
When he's got a deal. His wife's pregnant and she just quit her job. That's just not the way that this is going to work, which I guess in hindsight was kind of ballsy. You know, I didn't have the, not to say that I got a bunch of juice now, but, but either way, I just felt like it was ethically not the right thing to do, even though, to be fair, that's the way people are fired all the time in this business, you know, but in any business, they know they're going to let people go
right.
Well in advance. So it wasn't like he was doing anything, but I just was like, that's just not, you know, because we had had some fights before that had happened, as in like the three or four of us against that ownership group. And he goes, well, you're putting me in a tough spot here. And so I wound up calling the cat after I left Jay Bucks to let him know he was being fired. Hmm. But I remember walking out of Jay Bucks, I can still picture the parking lot, and he goes, this doesn't work out, it's going to be my ass. Well, the way that it wound up playing out was they then threw me under the bus like I was the problem. And I'll let the history determine whether or not I was the problem.
Yeah.
You can form your own opinions on that. But that was the way it went down, is whether or not, you know, this works out, this will be my ass. The shame of it is, in fairness to Jason, he had been pushing the ownership group to keep the cat. I still don't think it would have worked out with the cat and Bob. And it's one of those things. Like, I don't think me and Bernie Miklas, for example, would do a great show. But I was citing Bernie's article on Scoops with Danny Mac today. Yeah. You gotta play a certain type of offense. You know, you're not gonna, you know, Michael Vick would do one thing on Madden and Peyton Manning would do another thing. You can certainly win, but they're two different styles.
Sure.
That doesn't mean one's run right and one's wrong. So that's I mean, that's a very brief history of what took place with that. And then I eventually was able to get out of there. What they didn't know was I had a job in New York. And so my attorney was able to, for television, and my attorney was able to press to get out of my contract because it still had like, it was September of 2008 that it was up. Mm-hmm. And I was dying to get out of it.
Right.
And they were losing so much money, which is why they didn't want to keep the cat. It was a financial thing. Sure. It wasn't like he was a problem. So that's what that was about. They wound up paying him. Like I said, he got a new bathroom anyway. But once I knew I had the thing in New York, I'm like, hey, see if you can get me out of this thing. And then if you can, get my non-compete reduced, and then we can go start up a new show at 1380. And surprisingly, I thought for sure they were saying, well, you can leave, but, you know, you're not going to be able to. But they were losing so much money to be able to get out from my
right,
deal.
Right.
So I was able to get out of it, and then it goes, holy shit, now I got a decision to make. Do I stay in St. Louis and do AM radio, or do I go to New York and do TV? Which I'm sure everybody on the outside looking in would go, well, I mean, you go to New York and you do TV. But I'm just like, man, I kind of like the idea of controlling my own destiny,
sure.
Especially with what I had just been through. Don't get me wrong, if the money in New York would have been more, I probably would have gone. And it was good, don't get me wrong. It just wasn't, like, life-changing. And so that is how, once that was taken care of, and I had to sit out until, like, September-ish of 2007, me and the cat and producer Joe are back together, and then Doug, all wrongs were righted, and Doug was brought in to replace Martin about a year after it should have happened. And, you know, those guys who bought KFNS for $13 million in 2004 sold it for about 1.6. And that's very satisfying to me.
Shrinkage.
And that's all I have to say about that for this particular day and this particular show. But that's how I keep score, huh? Jackson, that's going to do it. I hope that informed people. A little fun fact for that. Nice job, TJ Weber. Time to shut it down for Jackson Burkett. I'm Tim McKernan. This has been the Tim McKernan Show podcast from the Longo Big Studios.